In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my God. The title of this sermon is called Our Advent Community of Faith. The Ordo service of the church involves looking backward and remembering God's acts of salvation over generations, and also looking forward, anticipating God acting in the world in the here and the now, as well as future divine vindication. Advent in our Christian tradition helps us look at the in-between times. Some people call this time liminal time. And we do reflect on God's promises to the Israel of Emmanuel, God with us as human flesh. We also look forward to anticipate Emmanuel returning to us as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You remember last Sunday my sermon on Christ the King, the Pantocrator. Victory will be put under his feet. Victory is death under his feet. We'll put death under his feet. And in this season, we look to and give thanks for God the Christ child. Jesus warns that the day of judgment, as described in Matthew's parable, will take the world by surprise. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. This is particularly scary in thinking. It confronts us with a stark choice that we are asked to make as we approach the Feast of Christmas. This Jesus, who will proclaim God's kingdom of love and justice, am I with him or am I not? Or as my dad used to say, are you with me or agin me? Many of us realize it's a bit of both, though. We want to be like Jesus, and then again, sometimes we don't. Donald Winnicott coined some terms, you've probably heard of them, the true self and the false self. And quite a few writers these days in spirituality have used these terms as well. The true self is really who I am in God, without pretense or any masks. I'm forgiven and loved and called into friendship with Jesus. That is the true self. So the false self is the me that projects my own importance and self-sufficiency to the world, pretending that I don't need any help from God. I've got this all on my own. Well, in the field of our lives, in reality, both are present. We pray that as we encounter Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, we want to become more like him. And we hope that our false self can be gone and our true self more and more realized. What a relief that would be, wouldn't it? Resting in the truth that although I am a sinner, yes, I am forgiven and I'm utterly, utterly loved by God. One particular line of thinking sees Judgment Day not as the apocalyptic end of the history, human history, the last day of the world, much as we have envisioned it in our literal thinking, but at the time of each individual's point of death. Each of us will stand before God as we take our last breath, giving an account for our life. If we follow what Jesus commands as best we can and as fallible as we are really ordering our lives and preparing ourselves in the here and the now for our eternal life in Christ. This week, I was in the grocery store and I talked to a self-proclaimed burned-out Christian, or as she called herself in the grocery store, a recovering Roman Catholic. I was saddened by this thought that perhaps the preacher's fire and brimstone that she encountered, the judgment seat, was really overemphasized, leaving God's unconditional love and mercy taking a back seat. I particularly do not experience Roman Catholic preachers today in this way at all. However, faithful churchgoers of any denomination, including our own, who receive this continual overemphasis on judgment and damnation, well, they often fall into a perpetual state of anxiety. Talk about being turned off to the church, my goodness. So, how does this inform us and help us envision our Advent community of faith? Let us take time and visit three areas, and they're called hope, memory, and alertness. In an Advent community of hope, we're called away from this historical anxiety. We have to think about the serenity prayer. We're asked to accept the things that we cannot change. And often, there's things that we don't know moving forward, like we did in this place just a number of months ago. But in God, we trust and we pray without the ability to know the future and without the ability to control it. In the Advent community of memory, with confidence, we can look back into Scripture, into Old and New Testament stories, which remind us that we can't ignore the action and the power of God working, particularly in history, to see what He's done and what He's doing, giving us confidence in what He will do in His own time. It's a good practice to have curiosity and confidence to see how God is working right now in our present history, in the good news that occurs in the world, fully recognizing that God is in the midst of suffering, not preventing it, but being present to it in the resources of human acts of kindness and compassion. I have a saying on my desk, and when I look at it every day, that's what it reminds me, that Jesus didn't come into the world to prevent suffering. And I think a lot of people fall off the Christian path because they just don't understand, how could God cause the Holocaust? How could God cause my mother to die when I was a little girl? Well, I don't believe that He actually did. I actually believe that He was looking to the human potential to eradicate suffering, to make people understand the ordering of things in the world. But Jesus came to fill it with presence. So we don't have to look far back, even in our own church history, to see where God was present, to observe, to bless, and to hope, offering hope for each one of us for the future. And I encourage you to ponder this in the specifics of that with prayers of remembrance and prayers of gratitude. And we come to the Advent community of alertness. Our text reminds us to keep awake. Faith and hope and memory draw us toward the Christian responsibility and stewardship which we are to take up in our lives. Moving forward in the Gospel of Matthew, we'll be called to keep awake to the needs of others. Before what we may envision as Jesus coming in the clouds, Jesus may just appear around the corner, suddenly, like a person experiencing a life-altering event in the ICU, which we witnessed yesterday. Someone with food scarcity walking through the doors to Grace Connection, our ministry here in the church. Someone coping with acute or chronic illness. A grieving friend or relative, or someone imprisoned, or someone that's feeling helpless to their addiction. These are frequent encounters in our lives, and we should consider that Christ is in the midst of us as we experience them. For you see, my friends, God's grace is already at work in us. Jesus calls us to this readiness, which is shaped not by fear of the future, but rather by gratitude for life in the kingdom of Christ that's already here and offered to us, and in which we already participate. Faith and hope, then, are encouraged. Know that Jesus loves you. Know that he longs for everyone to be saved, for that is why he came. We're not meant to live our lives in a perpetual state of tension. Jesus wants us to keep awake and to trust him. Neither complacency nor anxiety, but to be awake with him. God has begun a great work in us, and it is this which brings trust and hope. It is in this that we're transformed more and more into the stature of Christ, which seeks to become manifest in our particularity, and which seeks to be made manifest in acts of mercy, forgiveness, and loving kindness. I pray that our lives are deepened in relationship with Christ, who meets us whichever way we turn, whether toward the past, towards the present, or towards the future. And may the Sun of Righteousness shine upon each of us, scattering darkness that's in our path with God's blessing this Advent. May you become the light of God's grace and mercy to others. This is my prayer. Amen.